Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Up under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome to Hour 2 of the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Greg the Dive Master, Bill the Producer, out and about at the Rebreather 3 Forum here in Orlando, Florida, having a good old time. And yes, Richie Kohler is here in the flesh. It's been a while. Richie, how are you, my friend?
I'm absolutely doing fantastic. Happy to be back in Florida, man.
Well, it's good to have you. And it's been a long time. You know, since the last time we spoke, I don't know if you know this, but I got certified on a rebreather.
Of course I know this.
You knew this.
I know everything when it comes to rebreather. And you actually got certified with some mermaids on an evolution rebreather.
This is right. Which is
There's no script here, folks. This is real. This is live.
Right. That's right. This is the only time we talk is when we're on the radio.
Yeah, because I've got nothing else to say to you any other time.
It's like he tries to distance himself as much as possible, as well as most people, but who can blame him? But yeah, it was a blast. We did it in Grenada. Peter from Aquanauts Grenada, my instructor. He's wandering around this event as well. We're going to catch up with him in a little bit. But what have you been up to?
Well, you know, I've been doing a lot of different things. In dive world, I've been looking for a couple of different shipwrecks off Massachusetts where we live now. We've moved from New Jersey to Massachusetts. Done a little bit of...
Did you do that on purpose? Were you run out of town?
Yes to all of the above.
He had too much money, so you needed to pay more taxes, so you went to Massachusetts.
Obviously a New Englander here, I'd say.
I left Massachusetts and came to Florida.
Yeah. Well, I actually started in Florida, and I've been working my way up. Eventually, I'm going to hit Canada, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know what the tax rate is up there, but I hear it's up there.
No, but you know what? You got me back in Florida for a great program. Rebreather Forum 3 is fantastic.
Well, is that your phone ringing?
Be my phone.
No, well, he has important people to talk
to. Actually, this ring is Josh Bernstein.
He
used to be on the History Channel, and is a good friend. So I have to
take that call, and I'll talk. Well, let's talk to his friend, John and Richie, the Shadow Divers.
Yep.
We're doing that. You were working with them on the History Channel show, right?
I was working with them on Deep Sea Detectives for a while, a bunch of the projects afterwards, and you know, sort of turned that. They got me started in a whole other film career.
Yeah, Evan Kovacs.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure we get your name out there. Because what are you doing now after you did that project with them? Obviously, you still have agreed to associate with Richie.
Yeah, no, he pays me.
That makes sense.
Now Richie and I do a lot of projects together, a little bit more for fun, not as much of a paycheck involved. And then I do lots of other work. I do work with Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution. We sort of build camera systems. We go out, we do everything from shallow water diving projects to deep water ROV submarine projects.
Nice. Now, Evan, if I remember correctly, and I could be wrong, but when you guys were shooting Deep Sea Detectives for the History Channel, were you already a rebreather diver, or did Richie get you certified? I vaguely remember some story like that.
I got Richie certified.
Okay, that's what it was.
Richie, when we started doing the show, Richie came in as the open circuit guy who was always crossing his fingers and looking at the closed circuit as it's a black art, as voodoo. But he it's hard to when you've got a whole other team of people that are doing extended dives, and Richie's always like the guy going, all right, bye. I got to go up, quickly. He saw how safe they could be, and a lot of the potential benefits to that. So he eventually moved over to the dark side.
So you made him the talent, and you said, okay, I'll film you, and I'll teach you what you're supposed to do and how you're supposed to look, kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Nice. So you're responsible for his entire career.
Absolutely, yeah.
Good man, good man. So you've moved on to some new projects. Are you doing like this movie Sanctum type stuff now, or what?
No, you know what? I don't do much feature work. It's not as interesting to me. I like to do lots of science, documentary types of work. We spent a lot of time lately. The big thing's been Titanic. We were out in 2010. We did a big thing in Nat Geo. We had a couple of films that came out. We got a big 3D thing on that. That's been like sort of all-consuming for the last year and a half.
I could see a project like Titanic taking a little bit of time.
Yeah, it was pretty neat.
But that's all submarine stuff. You're not going down on a rebreather down to the Titanic, I'm guessing.
Not more than once, you know.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, right. If you want to think about it, though, a submarine is the ultimate rebreather. Yeah, I mean, it really is.
It's one true. Giant yeah. Rebreather. Well, James Cameron used a lot of the silent diving technology, from what I heard.
Absolutely. But that's what a submarine is. It's basically oxygen bleeding in. It's often lime or some sort of scrubber, and a couple people living inside your rebreather. So
nice. So what about this forum? What are you speaking about?
I'm speaking about just some of the some of the pros and cons to closed circuit when filming. Just sort of some of the, at least my philosophy on it. I probably wouldn't be where I am if it wasn't for closed circuit. That gave me an opportunity
Those bubbles create problems for underwater photographers, don't they?
Well, they do. And in my case, closed circuit let me spend a lot more time trying to perfect a shot. And Richie can attest I needed that help.
You have any idea how many mermaid pictures have been ruined underwater because I was not a rebreather certified diver? Now you know my motivation, Richie. And Richie's back from his phone call. What do you think?
The fact that Evan needs more help with his photography, or that the only reason why a lot of people talk to you is you're usually surrounded by absolutely drop dead gorgeous half naked women.
Today I got Bill, a middle aged bald man.
Bye.
I think this interview is now over. I was probably one of the hardest converts to go to rebreathers. As a matter of fact, there's a book, you may have heard of it, Shadow Divers. In the back of it is an interview with myself and John Chatterton in which I stated, and I quote, you're not going to see me on a rebreather until it says Craftsman on the side of it. And that's a quote in the book. So what changed? Well, the technology changed. Now, when I made that comment, roughly in the late 90s, rebreathers weren't here, at least not for me. But then when, Martin Parker came out with the Evolution, I took a really long, hard look at the technology, and I jumped in quite literally with both feet. I not only really embraced the technology, I became a zealot, so much so that I became an instructor.
Well, you are responsible, honestly, for me getting rebreather certified, because you were telling me, I need to take you down on this thing. I need to teach you how to do it. And we couldn't work out our schedules, but it was always in the back of my mind, and I finally did it. So,
I got to flip it back on you. Did I lie?
No, it was awesome. I did a 3-hour dive. I went down to 165 feet. It was crazy. It was nutty stuff.
So what I've learned today is that it's Evan's fault that you're a rebreather diver.
Yes. Evan is ultimately to blame because he took credit for your rebreather certification. Is that true?
That is absolutely the God's honest truth, because when we were working on the History Channel program, Deep Sea Detectives, I was the only guy in a 4-man team diving open circuit. And we dove on sites as diverse as a Scapa Flow, where the water was freezing cold and it was snowing. We dove in the jungles of the Dominican Republic down into cenotes, 250 feet down, in a wide and diverse variety of locations and types of dives. These rebreathers functioned flawlessly. And these guys would literally get out of the water faster than I did and be eating lunch while I was still down there decompressing because I was using open circuit.
So we got the best lunch.
Yeah, they got the best lunch.
You didn't leave anything for me. So this is purely motivated by hunger.
Exactly.
Yeah, Brad, actually, he's right. He's right.
Very nice. What are you speaking about here at the Rebreather Conference here, Richie?
It's a little bit of a sobering presentation. It's about the importance of using a CCR checklist, and it's entitled Failure is Not an Option. And, although it sounds kind of obvious, as you know, your instructor taught you that to assemble and prepare the unit for a dive, you really need to follow a written checklist. diving a rebreather is much more complex than open circuit. And in such, there's lots of parts, not necessarily moving parts, but those parts have to be put together in a very particular order. The unit has to be pre-flighted. And notice I didn't say pre-dive, but pre-flighted, because I like to use the...
I'm learning to fly on top of everything else right now.
And so am I.
Are you really?
Yes, I am. But I'm actually, I always have to do things harder. I'm not going for fixed wing, I'm going for rotary, so... helicopters. Anyway, the point is that you must use a checklist every time you assemble and get ready to dive this rebreather. Because as human beings, we're prone to error. We have a limited ability to remember things, and when we're task loaded or interrupted, any interruption during the pre-dive or assembly feature can... really have an obviously negative impact.
And on that sobering thought, let's go have a drink. The bar's still open, and we got more coming up from the Rebreather 3 forum next. Stay close.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
You suck. You have to survive when you're scuba diving 30 feet underwater. The next time you dive, suck air through Oceanic's new Delta 4 regulator with dry valve technology. DVT eliminates moisture, corrosion, and hose deterioration. The Delta 4 also features an FDX10 balanced diaphragm for years of hassle-free diving. So admit it, you suck. And you should be sucking on a Delta 4 by Oceanic.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into ScubaRadio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at ScubaRadio.com.
Scuba diver. Scuba diver.
And welcome back to the world's first radio show devoted to dive, or rebreather diving, today for the Rebreather 3 Forum here in Orlando, Florida. I'm with Bill, the producer, and also my rebreather instructor. We just we found him next to the bar. How ironic. Peter from Aquanauts Grenada, how are you, my friend?
Hey, I'm wonderful. I made it all the way to Orlando today. Yesterday morning, still diving the Bianca Sea, and today I'm in a bar in Orlando.
Life is good, is it not?
Life is not that bad.
Yes. So, Bill?
Well, actually, that brings up an interesting point. How does rebreather diving affect your ability to fly?
I don't know. What?
I've been over this for many years, you know. I mean, I have this funny dive computer, you know, and I do a beautiful dive, and I come up, and it tells me in 8 hours I can fly. I still don't believe it. And I will not ever try.
Yeah, you don't push that limit, but the computer's cleared you. cleared you to fly, huh?
Yeah, I still don't think I can fly. I mean, myself.
I mean, oh, with the arms.
I got
with
you.
The arms.
Ah, okay, now I'm catching. I'm a little slow. Well, he just came from a press conference where they had free booze. You hear what I'm saying?
Oh, free booze, and they didn't tell me?
Yeah, well.
I'm paying here at the bar.
Well, you know, we'll go back over there after. So yeah, you're responsible, actually, for us actually even being here at this event, Peter, because you were my rebreather instructor. This is a pretty cool event, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's the rebreather event of the millennium so far, because no bigger rebreather event has taken place so far, and I think it's going to be great. A lot of people are here. When you look at the list, pretty much everybody has a name and a done anything in rebreather diving is here for this. I think it's going to be a lot of important issues that will be discussed, a lot to learn for everybody who is here.
Yeah, now what about you from your perspective there at Aquanauts Grenada, where you guys have the rebreather program with the silent diving units, the inspiration, the evolution? What do you hope to gather from this? Or maybe what are some of the issues you're interested to find out that are going to be discussed here?
I think when I look at the schedule, what I'll be looking at is discussing decompression issues with people, medical issues related to rebreathers, the future of the technology. A very important issue for me will be attending the travel forum, all the issues that are related to rebreather travel, where we need to help people out. You know, how do you get to the destination, and what you can find, and get the logistics sorted out.
Now, you have solved that problem there at Aquanauts Grenada somewhat by just having all the equipment there for the inspiration and evolution, so people can come out there. They don't even have to bring their unit, or they can maybe bring pieces of it if they want. I guess maybe the hose and the mouthpiece or something, and then they could hook it up to the unit you have on site. Is that the idea or what?
Yeah, exactly. That is like our concept of it, because the thing is, rebreathers are still quite an investment, and a lot of people, you know, like you, like I was at some point, they're even not really sure, you know, is it really that great? Is it that fantastic as people are telling me? So they are hesitant to make the investment, but we offer like the big opportunity. You can come for a week, you can get your training, you can get in a couple of extra dives and make up your mind. And I can tell you by the end of that week, the answer is simply yes.
No doubt about it. I mean, when you have the opportunity to do a three-hour dive, which is what I did with Peter and Galinda there at Aquanauts, it will change your life. It's like learning to dive. It's like going through that first time you ever learned to dive, that having that experience all over again.
It wasn't 3 hours and 1 minute.
Yes, it was 3 hours in 1 minute. It was,
I
one
remember
minute,
you making that
one
claim.
Minute yeah, longer yeah. than Tony.
It was actually Tony had only 3 hours. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. I held my breath longer, like 5 minutes longer, yes. and rebreather was 1 minute longer.
Ooh.
But what?
Ooh.
What, Bill?
Ooh. Here's a message from Tony on my cell phone.
Uh-oh.
Oh, that is a message from Tony.
We can't read that on the radio.
Where are the mermaids?
Mermaid Lizzie, who is a rebreather diver, is supposed to be here tomorrow. So hopefully we'll have her on in just a little bit. We'll see.
Okay, that will be great, because I just start to picture Bill in a mermaid tail.
Yes, you and a lot of other people who threw up in their mouth just a little bit.
I have done it. There are pictures at scubaradio.com from
okay, we want people to go to the website, Bill. Please don't scare our web traffic away.
Why they don't let you out anymore.
Yes. Yeah, we let them out for this time. It was Roz's doing to let Bill out of the studio. So I'm not sure she knew what she was getting herself into. But we're going to throw Bill into the pool tomorrow and have him do a rebreather experience. And he hasn't done anything with a rebreather before. Are you going to do any of that yourself, Peter, or no?
I think I'm pretty much tied up in other conference parts. So I would love probably, you know, trying some other units and stuff like this. But there's other priorities, I think, on the schedule for tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, you're kind of locked in with what you're doing. So you got a pretty good system going, and you're here for more of the issues to be in discussed, like those travel issues and things like that. And what do you think is the biggest hurdle? The amount of the equipment that you got to travel with, is that the problem, which you've addressed by having units on site there at Aquanauts Grenada? Or are there other things that I'm not even thinking about?
Yeah, I think that is like two problems. One is the airlines, because they make it kind of difficult.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, they're coming around, and revising their luggage ideas and everything. And it's like I'm just putting an expedition to the Galapagos, and I'm coming basically around. Okay, I can go with all my gear and everything, and I put my rebreather in another bag, and I'll be paying $150 for having my rebreather flown to the Galapagos. So I think overall, it's not such a bad deal. So it's possible to do it. Then I come into the other problem is the logistics on location. So if you want to travel with a rebreather, you have to make sure the place where you're going to, they have your softener lime, your scrubber material, they have the right tanks that you need, the oxygen is available, etc.
Right. Yeah, which is a challenge sometimes. But you're trying to do set things up like that with the infrastructure that you offer at Aquanox Grenada and other resorts like that, right? That's one way to address the issue.
Yeah, sure. And I think as an industry, as a travel industry, we have to get together and put our heads together and develop some kind of logistics or a source of information where people really can access it. Because at the moment, you will have to do a lot of internet research and go on discussion sites, etc. So we don't really have a place where you can go to and see, you know, what place can I find what?
Right. Got it.
Can we just give Peter's email address out, and then if you have a question, you just email Peter, and Peter will know the answer?
Well, I don't know if we can, but it's peter@aquanautsgrenada.com.
Yes, it's peter@aquanautsgrenada.com.
Okay.
Or you just visit our website, aquanautsgrenada.com or aquatechgrenada.com, and you find all the information about our beautiful diving and our rebreather diving.
That's right. Yeah, really, all you got to do is just go to Aquanauts Grenada, and you don't have to worry about traveling, and just use their units. And you know, you buy a unit at home. Have your rebreather unit at home, but you can go there and train on it, learn on it, and experience it. Do that 3-hour dive. I did my deepest dive and my longest dive there with Peter at Aquanauts Grenada on these rebreathers. It'll change your life, trust me. All right, we got more coming up from the Rebreather 3 Forum here in Orlando next. Stay close. Okay, so we are wandering the halls here, the Rebreather 3 Forum here in Orlando, and of course it's a who's who from the rebreather community, but I'm seeing some old friends as well. Dr. Alex Berlsky from Dive Training Magazine, and well, he has so many projects going on, it's not even funny. What hat are you wearing today at this event there, Alex?
I'm representing Dive Training Magazine today. We haven't really examined the issue of rebreathers for several years, and I'm just here to kind of get an update on technology and see what's happening. Pretty interesting.
Yeah, it is. You know, and that's kind of what I'm doing too. You know, I've become a certified rebreather diver myself, but I am by no means an expert on this technology. But it's interesting seeing how this is starting to inject more and more into the recreational dive market, or it seems to be poised to target that market more and more. You think?
Absolutely. I haven't dived a rebreather probably in 6 or 7 years, and in that time, a lot has happened. The technology is getting to the point of becoming idiot-proof, essentially, I guess, for lack of a
better. Well, if I could do it, that says a lot. That's a testimonial right there, right, Alex?
Exactly. And I also learned an interesting little statistic that according to some of the major training organizations that teach rebreathers, that there apparently are 30,000 of them, of 30,000 people certified in rebreathers, which was astounding to me. I had no idea that had happened that fast, and the trends are it's increasing. In fact, it's increasing apparently at a rate faster than even recreational diving.
Yeah, and I think, I don't know if this is true or not, but it seems to be focused more in the UK right now and starting to jump over here to the US, or maybe they're starting to bring it across the pond, you think?
They made the point in the presentation this morning, these were worldwide statistics, not the US, so that would be perfectly consistent, yeah, indeed. And I from what I hear, just anecdotally, that people traveling, you know, tend to see rebreathers more outside the U.S.
Now, what do you think? Are you seeing enough as far as the technological advances to get involved in this yourself?
Me personally, I'm too lazy. I could
too much work. Pass it off to one of the other the folks there at Dive Training. I'm sure you'll see more writing about rebreathers in their fine publication soon. All right, more coming up from the Rebreather 3 Forum.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network. Your surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
I've written quite a bit of X-Men fan fiction. Captain Mutato is half man, half mermaid. So he can fight crime as a man and make love as a mermaid. Most of my writing involves the latter.
Can't swim, so I took a boat. To an island so remote, only Johnny Depp has ever been to it before. I stayed there till the air was clear. I was bored and out of tears. Then I saw you washed up on the shore. Beauty in the water, angel on the beach, ocean's daughter. I thought love was out of reach. Till I got her, had I known it could come true.
Welcome back to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Greg the Dive Master, Bill the Producer here at the Rebreather 3 Forum in Orlando, Florida. We actually have two Scuba Radio mermaids that are certified rebreather divers. They are not here because they had a dress code. No tails at the forum. I got to talk to Roz about that. But right now we are with, I think he's like the rock star of the Rebreather 3 forum. You think, Bill?
He looks a lot like Tom Cruise from Rock of Ages. In fact, I think that that's pretty much who Tom Cruise was channeling in that movie.
Dr. Simon Mitchell. I'm sorry. I just had a...
He does
the name thing right there. Yes, of course. Now, you came from across the pond. We were trying to get this right. You're from New Zealand, is that right?
That's correct. Yeah, I'm from...
Okay, so we at least got that much right. Because, you know, he is a rock star in the rebreather community for sure, and the medical community. You're a doctor, the whole thing. And I mean, it's people standing upside out the door here listening to you speak, and you are a very compelling speaker for sure.
Thank you very much. Well, I mean, it's a subject I'm passionate about, and if you're passionate about a subject, it's easy to speak about it. And I also think that this is a unique opportunity to impart some important safety messages for divers that are well and truly at the sharp end of diving. I mean, there are people here who are doing exploration dives that are right at the forefront of where diving is at the moment.
Yes, and you know, Roz kind of introduced you to our listening audience a couple weeks ago because she said you were going to be here, and she said, you are the guru, you are the man everyone goes to when it comes to medical questions and issues related to rebreather diving, and can dumb it down for people like me and Bill because you have a mastery of the language to you know, put it in layman's terms. And that's kind of what you did today in a couple of your seminars, right?
Well, I think the point is, if you have a... Well, and let me start again. The rebreathers are complex devices. There are a lot of potential issues with them that are also complex. Understanding those issues is important for these divers. So, I mean, I wouldn't call it dumbing down. I know what you mean, but what I try to do is reduce it to terms that are understandable and that can therefore constitute a useful safety message. If I stood up there and spoke about these subjects in my language, you know, high-end physiological or medical language, then the message would probably be lost. By trying to make it understandable, then hopefully people will take away a useful message.
Yeah, well, I did, because he uses pictures. He has many visual aids to help us all.
Were they stick figures?
They were way better than stick figures. There's real artistry at work here. But what came first for you, Simon? Was it the love of diving and rebreather diving, or the medical side of you? Because obviously, it looks like you have quite a bit of training in the medical field.
Yeah. So, I've been a passionate diver ever since I was a little kid. And I actually went to medical school quite late, and ironically, that was because I used to dive so much, I was no good at school and would never have gotten into medical school on my school grades. I sort of had to wait until I was old enough that no one cared about my school grades anymore, and finally got into medical school, and but with the express intention of going into diving medicine. So I joined the Navy after medical school, did diving medicine training, and was a DMO for many years, and then worked in clinical hyperbaric medicine, and finally anesthesiology. And that's a nice marriage with hyperbaric medicine, with diving medicine, because of the interest in gas physiology and the skills you learn as an anesthesiologist, you know, for managing very sick patients, the sorts that we sometimes see in diving medicine.
What about the type of diving? Was it open circuit, or did you get into rebreathers when you did some military stuff? Is that what you were saying? And then that kind of brought you into that world, or what?
Yeah, so I started out as a kid snorkeling, and then it was scuba diving, and it was in the military that I got exposed to rebreathers, and then started seriously diving them very soon after I left the military, and essentially have, since 1998-99, I've really done nothing but rebreather diving.
And he does some pretty extreme stuff too, Bill. I mean, we're not talking like recreational stuff. He's talking about doing these dives down to, what, 90 meters and more. That's like a typical day for you, is that right, Simon?
Not 90 meters is a depth that we visit relatively frequently. We did a wreck dive in 600 feet in 2003. That's 180 meters. That's the deepest I've ever been. I mean, but the point about depth is that, you know, depth should not be an end in itself. Depth is just a means. The rebreathers are a tool to get to places where you couldn't otherwise go and see things that you otherwise wouldn't see. But I would never do a dive just to notch a depth on my belt. There's got to be a purpose. I mean, these dives are high risk, and so there's got to be a good reason to do it. For me to go back to 600 feet would mean there'd have to be a historic wreck that no one had ever dived, or some kind of formula like that to get me to do that sort of diving.
Very task specific, Bill.
So what you were talking about today is the physiology of diving. Is the rebreather physiology, is that different from open circuit? Is it just because your limits that you can go to are further that makes the physiology different?
It's all of the above, actually. I mean, some things are the same and some things are different. And some of those differences do stem, as you imply, from the fact that rebreathers are used for more extreme diving. Although, you know, some of the deepest dives that have ever been done were done on open circuit. But, you know, to come back to your original question, there's no doubt that rebreathers have some unique physiological impact on people, and in particular around the area of work of breathing. Because on an open circuit scuba supply, you activate a demand valve, and the gas, if it's well tuned, almost gets squirted into you. Whereas on a rebreather, you have to move that gas around a circle circuit, which goes through a CO2 scrubber, and all of this has got resistance. And so the work of breathing gets high on a rebreather. The deeper you go, the higher it gets. And that sets in train a whole raft of potential physiological consequences from having a high work of breathing.
Yeah, I remember, you know, I've done a little bit of the rebreather stuff myself. I got certified back in July on the Inspiration and Evolution. And after doing a three-hour dive, I think I did feel a little fatigue just in my lung section from breathing so much. But is that normal then, I guess, or what?
Or
just bad training or bad execution. Well, not bad training, bad execution. Yeah, my instructor's here. I got to be careful there, Simon. You know how that goes.
Let me put it like this. You can certainly train yourself to cope better with long dives, and being physically fit is I think if you're going to do those kind of dives, it is a very good idea to, you know, separate to diving, have some kind of training program that keeps you fit and ready for that kind of thing.
Sure. So if what we're trying to overcome is the resistance in the breathing, should all closed circuit divers be married? Because that gets me used to resistance.
I got a lot
what
of
do
that
you think?
At home.
yes, that's not physiological resistance. Okay, okay. That's psychological resistance.
More yelling might build up those muscles. I don't know. But Simon, what do you think as far as the technology? Have we reached that point where this will really make a difference in the recreational world from your perspective, or what? It already seems like it is, or on its way.
I think it is. I think that rebreathers have been developing, the technology around rebreathers has been developing very quickly. I think it's, we have some early evidence to suggest that the relatively high mortality or fatality rate associated with the use is starting to fall. I think that there's a whole new generation of rebreathers being developed, more or less as we speak, and sort of in preparation for the mainstreaming of rebreathers by organizations like PADI, that are relatively simple devices that are designed not for the high-end deep diving rebreather users, but more for the sort of recreational end of the market. That's a relatively new concept, and it'll be interesting to see how it goes. But I have faith that those units are well designed, and I will never say foolproof, because fools can always beat foolproof, but I think that they're relatively well.
We're looking at two of them. I bet we could put that to the test.
And we are getting more foolish every single day.
Yeah, it's a sad state of affairs. All right, well, Dr. Simon Mitchell, thank you so much for being on Scuba Radio. We'll let you get back here and entertain these folks at the Rebreather 3 Forum.
That's a pleasure. Thank you very much. For
all right, more coming up. Stay close to the world's first radio show devoted to rebreather diving, this week at least.
Scuba Radio.
Dive Master sitting by the phone now, wishing it would ring, hoping that it's you on the other end of the line. Tug on his line now at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why we've added Nanook protective hard cases to our list of products you can now purchase on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. Underwater photographers, listen up. From their high-impact NK7 resin to their exclusive power claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook protective cases cost less than similar products currently on the market. The company has been around for over 15 years, but it's new to the U.S., so we've made a small number of Nanook cases available exclusively for you at a special introductory price on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Go there now and check out Nanook. The evolution of protection.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. Peak Performance Buoyancy and the Navigation Specialty Course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
You are a diver and have the Dive Flag shirt, hat, and bumper sticker to prove it. However, you can share your love of diving and ascend to a higher level with Dive Silver. Combining exquisite sterling silver with gemstones, Dive Silver is the perfect way to share your passion for the underwater world. From mantis to mermaids and everything in between, you'll find something truly unique to express your love of diving in the extensive line of Dive Silver jewelry. And at an affordable price, go to DiveSilver.com and see for yourself. That's DiveSilver.com.
You came all the way down here
for this.
And scuba diving.
Scuba diving? Who's going scuba diving?
We're going scuba diving. We'll be back in time.
What do you have to go scuba diving for?
For fun.
For fun?
And I'm a scuba-holic. I spend all my time beneath the waves. No more gin and tonic. Scuba diving is all that I crave. I don't need a 12-step program. Meetings I never attend. All I need is blue water. I catch a buzz each time I dive in.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to rebreather diving this week as we continue our little adventure here at the Rebreather 3 Forum in Orlando, Florida. Greg the Dive Master, Bill the producer, and now Dan from Dan. Yes, Dan Orr, of course, Divers Alert Network is represented in fine form here at the event. How are you, my friend?
Doing very well. It's a great event.
Yeah, this is an impressive display of talent. Dr. Simon Mitchell, he knows his stuff when it comes to rebreather stuff, doesn't he?
Oh, he does. Actually, he is not only a physician, but a really expert rebreather diver, and is the guy that you'd want to go to if you had any technical questions.
Yes. Is he a go-to guy even for Dan when it comes to rebreather things in that regard from a medical thing, or how do you guys handle that at Dan?
Well, actually, he understands all the physiology, which is important, but he is an end user. So he's a guy who's out there actually doing it and understanding all the things and all the complexities there are with using rebreathers.
Yeah, what do you think of this crowd here, Dan? I mean, this really is an impressive group of folks, Richie Kohler and all these guys. But, you know, most of the people we've at least been talking to initially, I would say a lot of them fall on the extreme side as far as, you know, even Dr. Simon Mitchell's talking about doing 90-meter dives, yeah. You know, task-specific. But yeah. This is pretty extreme thing, you know, depths and things compared to your typical recreational diver, you think?
Yeah, it is. It's actually both ends of the spectrum because today is actually the Explorer Day. Basically, it's to introduce people to the concept of rebreathers, give them an opportunity to hear all the information they need to make the decisions about
rebreather light. Yeah, isn't that what Roz called it?
It could be. I'm not even sure if you can use the word light with rebreathers because it is such a sophisticated piece of equipment, but it is something that is being made available more and more frequently now to the recreational diving community. So that's this part. And then right now at around 3 o'clock today, of course, it's starting to move into the actual technical sessions for the people who do use rebreathers on a regular basis and are those end users that want to know everything they possibly can. It's like the technical community because that is probably the most informed community in our industry.
You know what, Roz? It wasn't rebreather light. It's rebreather curious.
Yes.
It's rebreather curious today, and later on it becomes the full-fledged, I'm on their team kind of thing, I guess. I don't know.
It is. Yeah, it is, because, I mean, Patty does his Explorer Days, you know, around almost all the shows, and they're very, very popular. I've spoken in a number of them. You see a lot of people who are in the pool for the first time using rebreather and understanding how that technology works.
Now, I know you gave a presentation here about rebreather fatalities, right?
Well, it was actually open circuit fatalities to kind of set the stage. We're looking at that community to compare it with the rebreather community.
Yeah, and what do you think that is so far? Do we know? Are we just starting to get some of that data or what?
Well, it all depends upon the technology. For example, in open circuit scuba, the primary triggering event to a fatality is running out of breathing gas. And that is a real serious issue. When you start looking at rebreathers, then it's equipment-related issues. Not equipment problems, which implies that there is a design flaw, because that's not the issue. It's user error. So you see that, I think, frequently in a lot of things that involve that advanced technology.
They're not going to run out of gas on a rebreather. They just may be breathing the wrong type of gas because someone set properly or whatever.
Well, that could be. And the fact that these are, again, very sophisticated piece of equipment, and one of the things we've been pushing very heavily are checklists. Two things, checklists as well as a pre-dive ritual that you go through each and every time before you dive. Because, again, it is complex compared to open circuit scuba, and you want to make sure you don't miss any of those components.
Yes. Now, what do you think as far as the future? Is this going to be the future? I think this is the new Nitrox. We're on the verge of seeing the new Nitrox when it comes to the recreational diving community. You think that's a fair assessment or no?
Yeah, I think so. I think because Nitrox initially had some difficulty being recognized by the recreational world, and now it, of course, has become standard in a lot of areas. And I think this advanced technology will do the same. I think there will always be people who use rebreathers, and whether or not it'll take over the industry, you know, I'm not really convinced of that. But I do think that more and more people will understand the value that it brings to their sport.
Yes, it is still fairly equipment intensive, and we got to get through that little hurdle. But yeah, when you do a 3-hour dive and don't have to worry about decompression, I did a dive down to 165 feet. I never thought I'd ever go that deep in my life. But I was able to do it safely on a rebreather system and dive. What do you think of that? Am I crazy or what?
No. Well, I mean,
crazy.
That's a difficult question to answer.
Not really. According to Bill, it's pretty easy. It's pretty cut and dry.
Given. Is the fact that you are crazy.
Okay.
But I do think that it has opened a lot of doors. One of the things that Simon Mitchell talked about today was the fact that it has opened opportunities for us we never had before to see things and do things that we never could do because we were so limited by open circuit scuba.
Yes, it was. It's interesting stuff. It's exciting. And to do that and have it feel like learning to dive all over again, which it kind of is in a way, you kind of go through that whole process when you're learning to dive these rebreathers. It definitely gives you a shot in the arm of the excitement and adrenaline when it, you know, getting that fresh feeling of diving all over again, you think?
Yeah, I think so too, because it does give you an opportunity to see those things that you would love to have seen before but just couldn't get there because the technology wouldn't allow us to do that. Air wouldn't allow us to do that. And so you got a rebreather combined with mixed gas that'll give you the opportunity to do those things and go to those places that you just couldn't do before.
Yes. Well, and who knows? Maybe we can bring a rebreather to Turks and Caicos in October. That's always a slight possibility. Scuba Radio, Scuba Cruise with Divers Alert Network and Explorer Ventures. Are you ready? You and Betty ready for that?
We are more than ready. just give us a chance. We'll go today.
Yes. Well, we got to wait till October. October 6th. In the Turks and Caicos, contact Explorer Ventures, and you can join us on that adventure. Not you, Bill. You're just allowed to come to the Rebreather Conference.
Well, but I got to come this far.
At least he got to come here and hear us talk about it. Instead of on the phone, we're able to rub it in person for once. That's a nice feeling, isn't it, Dan?
Yeah, that's right. We'll send him some photos.
Yes, maybe.
Or at least you can look at the Facebook page.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we're not going to go to the trouble actually emailing him anything. All right, that'll do it from the Rebreather 3 Forum. Thanks for joining us. Till next week. Remember, it's always better
down where it's wetter.
Good night, everybody. Each little snail, you know how to whale here. That's why it's hot, 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 hot,
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated. Scuba
Radio. This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.